I am the stormwater engineer for my county, for Carroll County. And Carroll's a small county. I think we have a tremendous program. There's only three people. Water and floodplains, and I am the engineer. So that makes it a little easier to try new things in my county, because if you convince me and the fellow that works with me, you've convinced the whole program, all right? So, all right, that's all I'm going to say. All right, now, I don't endorse any, Once a year, I took a day off from work, and I do missionary work, all right? Which is free, nobody's paying me, all right? So I can say whatever I want, all right? And this is that day, you poor people, all right? So, I don't endorse any contract, supplier, contract, all right? But I get this question every time, all right? The pictures you're going to see here are work that was done by Conwego Enterprises, not by Cheney Construction, who was paid for this thing today, okay? All right? And I put this on here because I always put this afterwards, all right? Thank you very much. Yeah. All right, here's another one. For all you, how many people out here are like me, work for either, I used to work as a consulting engineer, I did that for 10 years, but I went to Carroll County. How many people are county people? All right, great, me too. If somebody comes in and tells you that this stuff works always everywhere, I've had that said to me a couple times early on, and I listened to people because I couldn't just show them the door. I'm told I can't do that. And then after I left, I told the secretary I'd never let them in again. Because they're lying to you. It doesn't work everywhere. Finally, somebody came in and said something honest to me about it, which was this guy from Conwego, so I let him build something. All right? All right. It does pass runoff through to the stone base, and it either infiltrates into the ground. Very good. Like that. Very nice job. Oh, by the way, this is being done the way that they didn't recommend. This is being done with paving. Right? Big mass production, not being done in placed sections. Alright? Rolled, joints, so on and so forth. Alright? Or, it conveys the runoff to the low corner and saturates the fill and discharges the runoff on the ground surface. What's the problem with saturating the fill? Anybody who's a civil engineer besides me knows the problem with that. What's the problem with that? What? Oh, yeah. And what happens when you have a steep hillside? Maybe down here, well, everything is kind of flat around here. That's why I drove in this morning. But where I live, every job is a cut and fill job. Right? Maybe down here, everything's never having a cut and fill. But where I live, everything's cut and fill. And if you tilt it to the low end and you have a steep slope, you know, it's supposed to be 2-1. The contractor builds it 1.5-1. None of your contractors ever do that, but my opinion is like that. And you get it all saturated, what tends to happen? Slides. Okay. All right. Here's a nice little job. This is my job. All right. I'm proud of this. Unless somebody tells me differently, I think I still have the largest porous concrete installation in the state. This was 15 acres when it was put down. 15 or 20 acres when it was put down. This fella had a real need to make it work. Alright, discharge runoff onto the ground surface. Alright, I'm standing at the low spot here. It all tilts towards me. That's kind of nice. We did put in drains along the edges, and you can see this when it's running pretty heavily.
I don't know if this will work.
Okay, I did this myself, so this is not the professional slideshow. Alright, that's just above it. Coming down to that drain. Let's back up.
1, 2.
Why, if that I'm standing at the edge of the slope, right there, and the whole thing sloped towards me, why do I have that effect coming down the hill? Because the hillside is saturated. All right. That's a problem. Dr. Art Miller says the infiltration rate of the porous concrete is greater than the 100-year, 5-minute rainfall intensity. That was what I talked about earlier. That's the 5-gallon bucket on the 1 square foot. What that means is if you take a 100-year storm and you take the worst 5 minutes in the whole 100-year storm, it'll still pass through faster than the next 5 minutes gets there. So that's the whole capacity issue about why don't you need drainage, any extra drainage and so forth. If you do this right, the worst storm you'll ever see in your life won't pour any water on the surface. And I believe me, I've seen it. It's not that I've seen that storm, thank God. Okay. All right, there's that test. Everybody has that picture, right? Okay. And that's the classic test with the water truck. Right, everybody's seen that too. And that's 1 minute afterwards. Pretty amazing. All right. Thus, the limiting infiltration rate for the porous pavement tested depends on the soil infiltration rate of the soil that supports the pavement. I think somebody beat that to death already this morning. It doesn't depend on the pavement. The pavement's done right. The pavement takes all the water you'll ever put on it. This pavement has been there for 7 years. I've had time to watch this in lots and lots of rains. To avoid restricting the flow for the concrete, stone base must be as porous as the concrete. 3/4 to 1/4 inch stone with no fines, it's not restricting flow, provide necessary storage. That's number 57 stone, right? Everybody that works in that one, they know what that is. That's number 57 stone. All right, here's a nice place we're going in. That's what we did there. All right, I also had this one. Guy came in and told me he was going to put down porous concrete on top of pressure run, and therefore he didn't need stormwater management on site. Does everybody know what pressure run is after you run over it? It's concrete. All right, it's not porous concrete. It is concrete. All right. This is these two guys. They own the place. You can go take a look out there if you want to walk around. They're happy to see them. In fact, I think these guys got written up in shelter system. Shelter Systems is a place that they make trusses, and huge trusses for buildings, big building roof trusses. And they got written up in Truss Maker magazine as innovative green people for putting this stuff down. And they are great people. I like these guys. But what they really wanted, like everybody, is they're after making money for themselves, right? Nothing wrong with that. That's how the system works. What they wanted was something that, one, got rid of the pond. Because I was going to have a huge pond for this. Remember I said 15 acres of pavement, right, on a green field? It was a massive pond. And it was fully designed. Who asked a question about the bonding earlier? Somebody asked me that. Or I said something about that you know how to know how much dollars to put down for the bonding. Yes. Yeah. Is that you?
Yeah.
Here's how I did it. Okay, they came to me. Never does before. I'm willing to try something new. Design the other system. Get it down to where I have a good design that I can fit the numbers on, which we did. The pond was $500,000. And that was 7 years ago. Today it'd be, $750,000, maybe $1 million. Big pond. Plus the storm drain system. Everything to go to. Well, that's easy. It's $500,000. I'll put one-and-a-half multiplier on it because I don't have it fully designed. That's $750,000. Post a bond. $750,000. Written agreement between us that should this fail, when you finish it, I mean fail to any, we're going to look and make sure it's all intact, nothing's messed up, all the joints are there, and the water goes through it every rain for 6 months. Actually, 2 years. We had 2 years written agreement. 2 years. Should it not work in that 2-year period, you will rip it all out and you will put in the storm drain system and the pond. And we're going to hold that $750,000 for that 2-year period. That's how we had ours set up. They signed that on dotted line. They had a lot of nerve, And they signed it on dotted line and built it. That's it going in. This is that 57 stone that you were talking about here. This is that pack of ad. This is it when it's finished. Massive installation. Here's the mistake then. I'll tell you a couple of mistakes. First of all, they did this for an industrial application, and it's heavy industry. There's been several questions about trucks, right? Truck loads, right? This is 8 inches thick. Minimum 8 inches stone under it. Some places 12 inches stone under it. But it runs heavy trucks all over it every day. And heavily loaded. And even worse than the trucks, they run forklifts on it. And the forklifts are the trouble, not the trucks. They run these narrow tire forklifts with stacks and trusses to make entire roofs like this, as high as this building. And they pick them up and move them and set them. Where they turn is where it has trouble. That's actually where they can peel some stones out of it. Right?
Yeah.
Of course, the load that I'm talking about, then, if you figure the little space on those solid rubber tires, and a load as heavy as an entire tractor trailer, right, which has 18 wheels holding up the same load. Anyway, okay, that's in loading condition. I should have got a picture of the forklift. Oh, there it is. There's the forklift. All right? And who was it? This is what you guys recommended. There's coming right out of the factory. There's the concrete pad first, then the pavement, right off the edge. All right, man, let's get to the important stuff. If you're me, how many people here are in the regulatory business at these counties or cities? Okay. How can I defend approving this? This is what my boss gave me at the time and said, if you do this, Martin, it's all on you. So you better be able to defend this. All right? How can I defend this when somebody comes in, and we're starting to get that now? I used to be, all the pressure I got was from, right, it was from consultants and their developers they're working for. Said I was being too hard. They should be allowed to do whatever they wanted. They were good guys. They would never do anything wrong. Let's see here. I'm holding up the economic development, whatever other things. Well, anyway, now I'm starting to get people coming in demanding to see the files because they've hired their own engineer. And they're a citizen environmental group. And they're going to use the environmental stuff to slow down, check, whatever, what's going on. I'm starting to get pressure back the other direction. As my boss said, you better go defend approvingness. Well, here's how you do it. All right, here's how you do it. If you want to let this stuff go and you want to defend approving, this is the way to do it. All right. Everybody here uses the standard SCS curve number method. That's TR55, TR20. Is that what everybody uses? That's what we use for standard stormwater for designing that pond, right? All right. Determine the highest runoff rates pre-development site. Match reduce the peaks after development. And I will tell you that this curve number method with an adaption to it is the new method in the new manual. And all we're going to do is adapt this method to the new manual directly. I'm going to show you how to do it, how to sort of twist it to meet the system now. And whatever Stu is here, I'm the past. Stu's the future. Stu's going to take over for a minute and talk about how to do it with the future method. So you're getting a two-footer. Okay? All right. All Maryland uses that. We've all established your current symbols. That would be your 100-year, your 10-year, and your 1-year. Two, 10, and 100. It's not a 1% chance of exceeding the probability. Look at that. Okay, well, all right. It's 2, 10, and 100. Right? I'm reading backwards to each other. 2, 10, and 100, exceeding the probabilities. And then you've got the peak methodology established by regulations using the TR20, TR55. All right. Everybody uses the TR55 method. All right. The reason it's popular is because it's simple, predictable, and of course, SCS came up with it. All right. If you're going to prove a new technique like this, make sure you can prove it using the old techniques, the old math. Because if you can prove the new technique with the old techniques, nobody can get on your butt about it. All right. If you let somebody give you bogus math out of their own homemade computer program, not that I've ever had a consultant do that, okay, and you approve it based on their homemade computer program, that's just the same as saying, trust me, right? And you really shouldn't just trust somebody. You know, that's your job. I'm looking right at this guy here because he raised his hand. He shouldn't have done that. Okay, all right. If it fails, it was something new. How are you ever going to justify the approval? All right. This is what we did at Shelter Systems. I learned the good, the bad, and the ugly from that. All right? This is a standard design. Very standard. You got a hill here, a valley here. You cut the top off the hill. You move the hill into the valley. You compact everything. You put down whatever pavement you're going to, and you put a building somewhere in here. Isn't that standard? Everybody that does civil design, first thing they teach you, nothing goes on, nothing goes off. You make the site balance. But surely everybody else heard that, too, at some point in life. Now, our good contractors, and this was done by a very good contractor where I work, always get that 95% maximum compaction. At least. Sometimes when it's tested, they get 101%, however that's possible. I have no idea that really can be true, but they get numbers back from the testing lab saying 101%, right? Now, when you slope this thing, oh, and the reason people slope it this direction always is because you're moving the dirt. So we cut off less dirt here and fill less dirt there if we slope it from the cut into the fill, right? Very simple. Cheaper. The problem is this is compacted to 95%. There is no infiltration here. None. Zero. The one that goes down through here and hits this soil underneath here, I put soil. A and B soils around my area. Hits this soil here, it goes in the ground. One of it comes down through here and gets in here, sits on this bottom, and fills up, makes a nice wedge here, and stays there. When it gets up high enough, it goes into this drain, drops out. Remember that water squirt down that drain at the bottom of the hill? That was right there. Didn't have quite enough drain, so this hill got really wet. In fact, my first one I have to inspect, I stepped on this hill and sunk in here, in the hill. Pretty scary. Of course, it was even scarier for them because I was holding that performance bond, that two-year performance bond, replaced the whole thing with a bond, right? All right, here's another way to do it. You could just reverse it, right? Have it go back this way. How much time do I have, Steve? I mean, you have time. Am I go back to 12 minutes? Okay. Let's see. Reverse it. 1% back this way. Now the water that goes down through here and goes hits the bottom of this area, it still can't infiltrate in that 95% compaction. And you need compaction. I had somebody tell me that they all the answer to this was, we won't compact, we'll just dump it loose. All right, think about that. All right, I'm licensed with you, all right? Anybody who's going to stamp a drawing, we're going to just dump it in there and we're going to build this pavement out on the loose fill. Or even better, let's put the building right here at the joint between the fill and the cut, on loose fill with no compaction, right? When they take your license, right, I won't have any opinion for it, all right? You can't do that. You have to have compaction, but you also can't assume this area is going to infiltrate because it's not. And you're cheating if you do that. That was why I wouldn't listen to those first people that told me it would work everywhere. The water hits this line and it runs back this way. And then it's going to get into this cut area, and in this cut area, it's going to go in the ground. If you have it all tilted one slope, of course, you get down here, only this area holds water. And that's where you can really calculate your storage and your infiltration. That's very inefficient. You've got all this stone. And by the way, things I've passed out are much better than this. I still don't know how to make a PDF file come out looking decent on a slide like this. But the drawings you have there are much better, all right? Anyway, that's your storage area. And you make sure you have a stone chimney here, and you put your relief right next to the porous pavement, so there's no way for water to back up in the pavement. Alright? That's what you did do. You did all that very thing. That did work really well. Now, if you get really lucky, and maybe out here you can find some sites like this, you can get a site where it's dead flat to begin with, and all you gotta do is cut it out and put the stone down and put the porous pavement on top when you're 100%, right? And maybe here you can get that. If you do that, the only thing that matters then is what that infiltration rate is into the ground. Remember, the pores will take 100-year storm, worst 5 minutes of 100-year storm, and it's going to go through this stuff as fast as that. So what do you care? And you've got the stone base under here. All that's going to do is hold it long enough to get to the ground and keep the pores from breaking. Because that is what the pores itself has very little strength. That has got to keep this pore stuff from breaking. It's got to support it. So here's the table. I did all the math for you. You can use these tables. I'm tending to publish all this, but I think I made a mistake of giving this out to a guy in Virginia last year, and now people call me that all the time, so it's too late to publish it. It's been published. All right. If your infiltration rate is 1/2 inch an hour, 1 inch an hour, 2 inches an hour, 3 inches an hour, the actual amount of stone that you need to hold an entire 1-2 year storm is 3 inches, 2 inches, 1.5, and 1 inch. Now, please don't put 1 inch of stone under this porous pavement. All right, it will break. Right? You have to have a certain amount of stone to hold it up. If you were trying to hold the whole 10 years, well, that's 5 inches an hour. 5 inch rainfall over 24 hours. You need 5 inches, 4 inches, 3 inches, or 2 inches. the association's going to tell you you ought to have at least 7 or 8 inches to be able to hold it up, right? You're not way more than what you need to pass if it's dead flat. But that's not the normal situation. There's the situation. This one, I gave you the math. Last time I did this, I gave everybody all the math. This time I didn't do that. I gave out to you in that packet the math of how to generate this situation. Situation, one-to-one cut and fill. Water comes down here. You put a nice slope on it. I said 1%. It could be a 0.5%. It could be a 0.25%. It's going to come along this bottom here. It can't go anywhere else. It's going to fall into this area. This area where you're back in your cut area, you make that dead flat. Don't make it 0.5%. If your client says you have to, sure, give them 0.5%. But the bottom of this reservoir needs to be dead flat. Then you can count the whole thing for storage. As the water packs up in here, it's just laying flat. You put your stone leaf drain right level with the bottom of the porous pavement, you can count it all. Right? Does that make sense? You just put enough base over here to hold the doggone pavement up. Whatever they tell you that is, that'll convey the water right over just nice and easy. If you do the math on that, which I'll skip ahead one slide and back. The math is really simple. Anybody's ever done TR20? And you'll see in there, if you look at the pages I gave you, I'm still approving this slowly. You'll see there's a bunch of handwritten numbers on those pages, unfortunately. The last time I did this, I had people ask me questions. Last time I did this, I had people ask me questions, and I came back and marked it up, and I forgot all about it until they asked me to come do this. Super simple. I did this as if you had 2 acres of pavement. I think in terms of big sites. All these other sites I've looked at today have been little things. I think in terms of big stuff. I like seeing, like parking lots and shopping centers. You know, big stuff. If you assume that you've got 1 acre of porous pavement on your fill area, and next to it you've got 1 acre of porous pavement tilted into it, or it could be a regular concrete tilted into it. All right? Everybody with me? That's that one-to-one situation. That's this schematic right here. All you have to do, everybody got a copy of this? All right, well, if you didn't, get a copy from somebody. Or get them to send you a copy. I know the originals, Tom has them. Just go down through here, roster deposit. This little calculation at the bottom is just as simple as it can be. That little calculation shows, you go back in here, and you take the infiltration rate in inches per hour, the reservoir area in square feet, and you take 12 inches per foot, and 3,600 seconds per hour. It turns out, just miraculously, that I like using numbers, like ones and zeros, okay? That the CFS turns out to be exactly the same as the inches per hour. So if your inches per hour is 0.5 inch per hour, you wind up with 0.5 CFS going in the ground over that acre. Okay? If it's 1 inch an hour, you get 1 CFS going in the ground. Then all you have to do is go back and figure out the volume in this stone for every 1/10 of a foot or 1/2 a foot, which I also did for you on this sheet. And then you have a stage storage diagram, and you have a stage discharge diagram. If anybody's ever done TR20, that's all you need. You need the input rain, you need the stage storage, and the stage discharge, and the machine will run for you. Oh, I also put that little packet has this particular one run. Actually, TR20 itself is attached. And I've underlined all the numbers. See, I got a lot of phone calls last night. I didn't underline the numbers. I didn't put that chart in there. You guys got all the numbers. You got all of them underlined. Every number that's on this page is underlined in that on that chart form. I'm saving myself a lot of phone calls. Okay. And this is the table of results. If you have a 1-to-1 fill to cut ratio, now this is really good to see. This is your numbers right here. And you had 0.5 inch an hour, which is not a tremendous amount of rainfall or twice the high rain infiltration rate. You only need 7 inches of stone to hold the whole 2 years full. It never gets up to the concrete. If it doesn't get up to the concrete, it can't heave the concrete. If you have 1 inch an hour, you need 5 inches, only need 5 inches of stone. If you have 2 inches an hour above the ground, across the whole bottom, you only need 4 inches of stone. Of course, you're never going to build that small. Most folks want a 10-year storm manage. You need 12 inches of stone and 10, 8, 6. And this, then you go down here and you say, okay, what if I have twice as much fill area draining into the reservoir as I do reservoir? And of course, you need more stone. What happens if I have three times as much? I have a building and a regular parking lot all draining into it. Well, you need even more stone. Right? But all the numbers are all there. The procedure can be followed as a standard, super duper standard procedure. If you've ever designed a pond on any stormwater couch, you can do this. You're putting, who said that? Right here. This man said it. Say it out loud for the whole world.
You're essentially putting the pond on the
river. Beautiful. And you can prove it. And if you can prove it, you can sell it to somebody like me, like those guys did 7 years ago. And I took it as an experiment. I let them do it. And I totally believed them. So this was my day off this year. I took one of my vacation days. You guys got to hear me on my day off. And that's how it works. And the practice is an infiltration practice. Make sure that it will infiltrate. Preserve it. We make it work. 90% of our still work from ever built in our county. Not just this, but all kinds. Don't ever think that compacted soil has an infiltration rate. It doesn't. No matter what they tell you, it doesn't. Okay? And then I've also given you our final... Let's go ahead, sir.
I wonder if there's a way to get that that fill accomplished in a moderate compaction without overdoing it.
I don't know, but I don't have the nerve for that.
Yes, there is.
Okay, I got to tell you, I don't have the nerve for it. I'm scared to death.
Yes, there is.
Maybe the nerve was shallower lift or something.
Yeah. You probably should not have strong. Remember what the guy was telling me. One of these fellows were pissed. I was here really today, because along with doing this, I'm getting my 10th education today. I was listening to this fellow talking to him about the structural. Fascinating to me. I don't know this stuff about the structural portion. The fellow was up here describing that earlier. And the concern is, don't have enough strength up there, particularly in a heavy load. I've got a heavy industrial situation here. It's got to stay together. So if I don't do enough compaction, where's the line? You know, where's the dividing line between enough compaction and it's letting the thing fall down?
Well, natural soil somewhere around 85%.
Right. I don't know. That's a very good question. Right. But you can design it so that you can use, you know, by thinking about it, you can design it to use places you know will infiltrate. It's very simple. It's very simple. All right? And also, he gave you our test procedure for infiltration. It's a little more stringent than what the state uses. All right? So it's a little bonus there. And you're putting down a 12-inch stone base. Why do you need to compact ground? That 12-inch stone base is going to support it. What are you even messing up for? You get the whole 10-year of ground with 12 inches of stone. 1-to-1 slope. Minimum, by the way, the reason I use that half is that's the minimum state allowed for an infiltration practice. So if you have that, and you have 12 inches, and you have 1-to-1 on, 1-to-1 off, anywhere in the state, you can show that the whole 10-year volume storage advantage. You can have as much water running onto it as you're putting into the ground with it itself, and still show anywhere in this state that you can make it meet the requirements. Yes?
How do you deal with fallout management?
Where's all the water going?
In the infiltration.
If you're infiltrating the whole 10-year storm, what have you done? You can sum up all the requirements. 100% of all requirements. Recharge, water quality, child protection, right? And add them all together and show that when you get this, when you have that situation, that you're putting it on, you're jamming all of that into the ground. So you have automatically met all the requirements. Period. You don't have to size an orifice because for shell protection, because it's all going to the ground. It's going through these micro pores into the ground, right? And your water quality, you're putting it all through into the ground itself. It's all going through the soil matrix, right?
If the soils won't accept it, you don't have infiltratable soil, C or D, can you filtrate it? Does it meet the state's
regs? That's a very good question, all right? That's one of these questions. Do we put a sand layer under it and put the pipes under it, take the pipes and put them through a filter system somewhere? Because then you're just if you don't have infiltratable soils, then what you're doing is using this as a conduit to get the stuff into the stone, take it somewhere, and then you're going to provide water quality some other way. Right?
Oh, you're providing initial quantity though.
I'm doing everything.
But.
If you don't have infiltrable soils, that becomes a whole different issue.
Right. If you say you don't have infiltrable soils, and based on your water table or whatever, based on your compliance with your site, you're using this structure as a quantity measure.
Right.
How do you do quality before you're doing this in quantity?
How would you do quality of a situation like that?
Yeah.
You'd have to use some other method, some entirely other method of doing quality. Because you have no quality. It's going through this concrete matrix, this concrete sponge, hit the stone, and been carried off and taken back onto the surface somewhere. So where was the quality improvement? I'd say zero.
I was wondering if you've got a developed site and they want to come back in and put in porous paving,
yes.
But they've already had 20 years of their parking lot sitting there and the soils under it have been improved and all. Does that automatically rule that site out?
I would say, no, that's the reason I put that. We had that kind of question come up. So we took the state minimums for doing infiltration testing, and we made it a little more stringent. All right? We said no boring, you gotta dig holes. You gotta do like a perk test, and all those other things to prove that. But if you can prove it, here's what we did here. We also found out we got these fake tests. We got some tests that were questionable, okay? Without not mentioning any names. Some less than reasonable results, all right? From several testing companies. So we actually wrote a little certification thing that has to be signed by the engineer who's swearing that he was on the site when it was done. And his license number, basically everything I would have to take, go to prosecute him if I had to. Okay. And can't do boards. Because we also found out that boards are the most susceptible things to being manipulated. Right? Had to be actual for these because they're shallow. Dig a hole. Right? Do a perk test from the bottom of the hole where you can see what you're doing. They know situation. Once they've done that, yes, we've been said, okay, it's been there for a long time, blah, blah, blah. Show us what the rate is right here.
So you don't have to go out and strip out all the soils.
But you may find that you can do that test. You're going to find out that the soil doesn't take it. If it was done, but it may be okay. Fire rates, less stones managed. You can go out to anything. Technique works well. You can show that it meets the code requirements the way you are today.
I have a question. How do you show that it meets the pretreatment requirements for infiltration?
Okay. You have a 25% pretreatment, right? And then you have, say, 75% total is the water quality treatment, right? Issue. I said, okay, in this situation, I'm going to say you have to be 100%. I'm not going to let them take, if you get 25% pretreatment, then you only take 75% of that first inch. Well, this stuff is all laid out. I went through and said, okay, I can't show that, so what I'll say is it's going to be 100% of water quality. Plus all the recharge, plus all the channel protection, plus show the 10-year storm matches. And we're going to bump it up another 25% to deal with that. We're going to say that that's additional volume there. Because we're wrapping all this together into an infiltration. The other question I get all the time is, how does it still work? Right. That picture right there is taken right into the rainstorm. See how it's all gray? There's things they did wrong. This was their first real meeting, too. So you know what those are? Somebody brought that up earlier. No, those are replacement strips. Phil knew that immediately. Those are replacement strips. Those are, who said that about cold edges and so forth and so on, right? Right. They've been put in afterwards to fix that. They work really well. They fixed it just perfect, right? But this thing here, this little bit, see all these tracks working here? That's because it's just finished raining. And this thing, they never stopped work. It's been there 7 years. They pile the wood right on the concrete. The wood doesn't warp because it takes the water away so fast that the wood doesn't warp. They don't have to have a warehouse for the incoming wood or the outgoing product. Now think about that. Go ahead.
Time of concentration and curve number.
5 minutes.
So you figure the thickness and it's going right through.
I gave it the worst of all possible conditions. and you can still prove it works. Take everything that you can think of as bad, lump it all together, and it's still more than adequate.
There's a point, though, where, you don't want to have to oversize.
Of course not.
So
that's why we turn it over to Stu.
He's going to
do it correctly. Okay. Perfect. All right.